Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's a gorilla of destiny. A Bullet Club OG, continuing on the legacy of the most feared name in all of wrestling. From Tonga to Japan to America, you are now entering Tama's Island with your host, the babyface heel, Tama Tonga.
Okay, folks, it is Tuesday, November 30th. It is 6:30 p.m. Eastern. It's time for another episode of Tama's Island. I am your co-host, as always, the Folk City Hustler, the Culture Vulture, the Disruptor, the Shy Beetle, the Eggman. I am Ross W. Berman, the fourth, and I am, as always, joined by the one, the only, Tama Tonga. Tama, how are you doing right now?
I'm good. It's nice and early in the morning. I'm doing very good, besides some shitty news that just came down the pipeline about the whole new,
the Omarion variant, the Omicron variant.
Omarion.
B2K virus. Oh man, the Omicron Persei-8 the Omicron variant is, we will get to that as we talk through.
I'm good. Yeah. How you guys doing?
It's a dark, cold day in Chicago, but I'm feeling pretty good today. I've had a productive Tuesday, and it's not just me and Tama. We've also got a couple of folks joining us, returning to the podcast. Once again, the one, the only Karen. Karen, how are you doing this fine evening?
Hey, I'm here. It's nice and kind of toasty here in Florida compared to the rest of the world, but life's good.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, Florida, I'm sure, is nice and warm. And speaking of Florida, we've also got another Florida resident hanging out. Please welcome, as always, John. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I don't want to make anybody jealous, but I just got back from a theme park. It's only 5 minutes away.
Oh. Get out of here. Oh, so you're having a fun Tuesday. You're having a magical Tuesday. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's Universal Studios, actually.
Oh, okay. So you were having a movie magical, the magic of movies.
Yeah. They give me a comp ticket every time I see Universal Studios, so get ready.
Hell yeah, he's gonna keep saying Universal. Do they give you a comp ticket if I say Universal Studios? Can I like give you? Can I give you the?
No, assist actually, on? Actually, I, if they know we're hanging out, I'm banned for life. So just keep it on.
Okay, then yeah. I will. We have an from an anonymous bunker. Yeah, no, he a complete stranger to me and the show. John, glad to have you all here. As Tama was mentioning, there is some. Unfortunate news coming out of Japan and really just the rest of the world at the moment because there is a new variant in the coronavirus that has been ravaging the planet for the past 2+ years. We are in the fifth season of lockdown now, and a new variant has arrived. It has been in Europe. It's been in South Africa. It's been in Japan. It is probably going to come to the U.S. We'll see. We don't know. But because it is in Japan...
Not going to come to Florida, though.
Yeah. Well... No, we don't got no COVID down here.
No, science, apparently.
It's safe to come here. Please spend your money. We need the money. Our roads are
Corona
terrible.
Scared of Mickey Mouse.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
The actual governor of Florida, Mickey Mouse.
If you put one of those merchandise bags, like wear them like pants, they're magic and they can't hurt you. I just love the implication, by the way, that there might be somebody out there learning about important global news like COVID mm-hmm. through this wrestling yep. podcast.
Yeah. Look, I don't know what's happening in people's lives. For all I know, some of our viewers are under a rock. For all I knew, some of them are men of the people who know everything and everyone that's going on.
Listen, it's wrestling. It's a good bet to go either way. So
exactly. And so I like to keep us up to date. But no, at the end of the day, the Omicron variant does have some wrestling implications because, as we all know, Wrestle Kingdom is coming up this January 4th, 5th, and 8th, and a new batch of restrictions from the Japanese government to kind of nip the Omicron variant in the bud before they get to it could mean that there are some folks not on Wrestle Kingdom, could mean that there are some folks that are still there. The current restrictions as they are is banning foreign travel, but if you are a foreigner that has a resident visa or already a visa, you're able to come in. There are also some folks who had applications that were approved before the Omicron variant came out that are still going to be able to come in. So a good example of someone who will still be able to attend Wrestle Kingdom, Will Ospreay. He lives in Japan. He is already currently he has all the paperwork in order, so he will be there. Others, like your Jay Whites and your Juice Robinson, David Finley's, it's up in the air. I think they might still be able to make it work. Kenta was discussing that there might be some hiccups, but it sounds like he is hopeful that he will be making it not only for Wrestle Kingdom, but for Pro Wrestling Noah on January 1st. We will get to that news as we get there. But Karen, you are... you've lived in Japan. You have a better grasp of the Japanese culture than I do. I have read articles. I have, you know, I've done some due diligence on this. But what have you kind of been seeing coming out of Japan as this Omicron variant news has broken?
It's one of those things where it's difficult because there's so many different visa status classifications and residency classifications. So mm-hmm. a work visa isn't the same thing as a permanent resident. And it's not the same thing as someone who is married to a Japanese national but hasn't become a Japanese national themselves. So gotcha. There are study abroad students that have been trying to get into Japan since last year that were all ready to start coming in, and now they all had to cancel their flights, and people have been putting their lives on hold. And now they're just, now they're stuck in the States and other places. And, if you missed open enrollment for your insurance, you're uninsured right now. Mm-hmm. It's difficult because the reports when it initially happened were very, very convoluted and very, came out very quick. It sounds like they're scaling back to from 10 days to a 14-day mandatory quarantine. Mm-hmm. If you have a work visa that is valid and you've been in the country and you have re-entry permission, meaning you can come and go as you please, mm-hmm. you should be, keyword, should be fine.
Okay.
But any new visa people that haven't come into the country and endorsed their visa yet, it's my roommate. Mm-hmm. She's from Japan and she's going back in a couple of weeks actually to handle some of her visa stuff so she can come back here. She got an email from her flight mm-hmm. yesterday saying, just so you know, Japan's shutting down the borders. We just wanted to make sure that you are actually a Japanese national and you won't have any problems getting into the country. So, and it's the same thing. Once you get to the airport, You have you can't take public transport. You can't take a bus. You can't take a train. You have to have your own mode of transportation or pay through the nose for a taxi. Oof. And then your phone is going to be location. They're going to check where you're at. And if you're out of your little zone, your little bubble area, you're going to get a phone call. And if you get a phone call and you're not where you're supposed to be, you could be in some trouble. So, yeah, it's all very much up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's the more information that comes out, the more optimistic I am. But there's still some things where it's just like, I have a feeling some things are going to be changed at the very last minute if certain, you know, depending on how soon people from around the world that are supposed to be there are able to get where they are. That might mean people are cutting Christmas vacation short. They're gonna have to have Christmas at like this weekend instead of 3 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. So it's I feel for them. Like I want everyone to be where they need to be and be happy, but I also want them to be where they need to be and be healthy.
Yes. So no, and you do bring up a good point. It's got to be very frustrating because we, as much as we're trying to figure this out, it sounds like if your roommate's story is any indication, that there are some folks that are trying to get in there that are still trying to figure it out. I did hear that there are some folks stuck at a quarantine hotel at the moment at one of the airport. I'm not sure which airport it is, but at one of the airports. It sounds like it's a bit of a mess, but it seems like the restrictions aren't quite going to be as doomsday as I think people thought they were going to be when they first came out. It sounds like there are some loopholes. Some folks might be able to fly through if and when paperwork gets sorted out. Am I oversimplifying, Karen, or does that kind of seem?
No. It's pretty spot on, but the thing is that since, as always, the pandemic is an ever-evolving situation, what we could say today on Tuesday, by the time this goes live on Friday, it could be a completely different situation.
Yeah.
So it might be that people are going to have to start changing travel plans to make sure that they can get in while they still, you know, while they still haven't completely shut down. And I don't know what Japan's going to do internally, whether they're going to start, you know, putting places under state of emergency again, because the numbers have gone down, which is great.
Yeah.
The problem is if they stop admitting people, but the numbers are still growing or start climbing again, then they have to realize it's coming from the outside. It's people aren't doing their due diligence on the inside.
Gotcha. And so, yeah, and we still have a couple weeks while we're waiting on the CDC to run the test so they know exactly what kind of immune response this virus has. There were some early indications that it might be a little more vaccine resistant than other strains, but there are also some early indications that it might not be as severe as other strains. And so as other strains. And so while it seems more transmissible, it might, I don't know. There's still a lot of gray area with the Omicron variant, but it does not sound as doom and gloom as some of the other variants. Cause I mean, since we've gotten to Omicron, there have only been a few like really serious variants, like the Delta variant, very serious COVID variant. But then there was a Lambda variant that came out that kind of came and went. And so we're just kind of in a wait and see moment with the Omicron, variant. So, but Tama, you're over in Japan right now. What is the mood kind of like there and in the New Japan locker room as all of this is kind of coming out, as all of this news is rolling out?
For the Japanese wrestlers, they're like, I mean, it's every day, you know, it doesn't faze them that much. But for us foreigners, it kind of, it's kind of a thorn because it might affect our time going home. Because so if that stops us from going home, we've already been here 4 months, you know, some of us 5-6 months already. And if we don't get to go home, that's another like tack on another month or two to that, you know, depending. So some of these guys have been away from home for more than half of the year. So that kind of, this news is not taken in very, very well, but it's coming in close to the holidays. So we're trying to be like Aaron, very optimistic about the situation and see where we go from there. So, other than that, the Japanese wrestlers are fine, but us foreigners are kind of like,
Yeah, no, and it,
might,
and I mean,
there might be some heavy drinking coming out of this. So,
look, I don't think anyone would blame you. It seems like a very tough time, especially like you said, you've already been so away from your families for so long, and then this adds so much uncertainty. It's not it's not the best news, but we had to deal with it right up front because it does raise a lot of questions for Wrestle Kingdom and for, like I said, to transition into some lighter news. Kenta, supposed to make a big return to Pro Wrestling Noah at their January 1st event. There is no word on who he'll be facing or if he'll be teaming up or what his participation will be, but it is a big return in the on the road to Noah and New Japan facing off on January 8th. Karen, what'd you kind of think of the news that Kent is heading to Pro Wrestling Noah, heading back home to Pro Wrestling Noah, to put it bluntly?
So when they ran the video, when it opened up, and what kind of disappointed me is that they didn't subtitle it at first, mm-hmm. but he talks about why he didn't go back to Noah and chose going to New Japan, because he promised when he left Noah, he was going to go, you know, make them proud, make a name for himself. And he's like, I got to America and I was here for however many years and I have nothing to show for it. He was embarrassed to go back to the dojo. They actually have him standing outside the dojo and he's like, I didn't want to show my face here because I let everyone down. So I'm hoping that when they cut to the audience, there were like people crying. They're like, oh my gosh, Kenta's finally coming home. That all the people that have been naysaying Kenta about him, like, you know, choosing one company over the other, that they'll just be happy he's coming home. Even if it's just for one show, or, you know, if there's something, if he's something in the cards from on the 8th as well, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a very emotional moment and match, but no, not for anybody else more than him himself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be, it did kind of take everyone by surprise. They announced it at the most recent Noah event that was headlined by, GHC Heavyweight Champion Katsuhiko Nakajima wrestling GHC National Champion Kenno to a damn fine 60-minute draw. But John, what did you kind of think of this news that Kenta is now, it's not the forbidden door in Japan, because it's not uncommon. Hell, Yuji Nagata was All Asia Tag Team Champion while he was wrestling in New Japan for a while. So the companies are allowed to work together there. But it is kind of interesting to see Kenta finally heading back to Noah.
Excuse my ignorance, but is this the first person from Bullet Club to head over there?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand, and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
It actually might be. No, Cody Hall was over in Noah for a little bit.
Okay.
Right. It's the first Current member of Bullet Club to head over to Pro Wrestling Noah. There you go.
I'll take that. I just want to know. I want to be
the first person. Life.
Okay. Look. We went.
You will come, young boys. That got kicked out.
Okay. All right.
But current.
I'll let.
Like,
I'll add the foot.
We're gonna get real specific.
I'll add the footnote to the Wikipedia
I'm saying,
later.
I'm just saying, is he gonna go over there and plant a flag? That's all. I want to know. Is he gonna plant a flag and be like, you know, oh yeah, just kidding. I'm a fucking Trojan horse, like, you know, like, you know, and also, does that open up for further conflict, you know, down the road in for NJPW and NOAA? I mean, in that way, that it's kind of like, not that he's necessarily, you know, it's not like he's a traitor, but going over there representing NOAA in that situation, I think that opens up for some future collaboration, storyline kind of stuff.
With the pro leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but sometimes, listen, sometimes even the NHL sends a dude down to like ECHL to sell some tickets. You know what I mean?
I'll be like Okada on this. Pros don't go down into the minors and mess around over there. Come on now, man.
Wow. All right. Am I detecting a little bit?
It's cute. It's cute that Kent is going over there to like reminiscing with his friends and everything. That's cute, like a bunny. But you know, come on, man.
He's got work to do, right? I mean, he's out there farting around with his old buddy.
Give his old buddy some high fives, you know, do your thing, come back to the pros, bro. This is where it counts.
Considering all of the backstory that Karen kind of filled us in with, that, you know, Kenta didn't want to return to NOAA until he'd made a name for himself. If he's decided that it's time to go back to NOAA, it's very possible he's going to big time everyone. Just be like, look, I finally did it.
I feel that. I feel right? that, Karen. I feel that, you know, like you're supposed to be the man going out there represent. And wah, wah. Really? Yeah. I get
that's
it.
That's why his own doing, though. That was not his fault.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right. The situation is whatever it may be. It might be out of his hands. But, yeah, you feel that. So seeing that he's going there on the first, it was kind of shocking. But I'm like, okay, that's when I saw that video, I'm like, okay, I get it. Big bro, go out there, you know, go do your thing.
A little bit
Bullet Club, don't go over there and get your ass kicked by the miners now.
All right. One of the things I liked about that whole scenario is that it was interesting to see how different NOAA wrestlers reacted to it. And Mara Fuji, who he has a very long, long, long storied history with, was like, so when it comes to the eighth, whose side are you on?
It's a very good question.
The side that pays you, fool. Shit. What do you think? Well, Fuji, you'll pay this.
Hey, man, don't shoot the messenger, man.
This ain't no Red Cross, all right? You can't come out here. Like, you don't get paid by New Japan, but go fight for Noah. What the hell does that mean? Come on, Mara Fuji, you know better than that.
You got to get that paid.
Ask some dumb questions like that. Maybe I'm taking too many bumps, Mara Fuji. Man. Bumps out my shit. I want to fight against Mara Fuji, man. Shit.
Yes.
Everyone wants Mara Fuji.
I don't see what's stopping you. It's good, you know.
You're right. Shit.
What's that? Run it in.
You guys sneak in with Kenta.
He is the DHC tag team champion at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute! I thought those were the minor leagues. Though, what's going on?
Yeah, as soon as you say Keiji Muto, man, what is he like? 70?
He's 60. He's 60.
So the thing is, you can take him, right?
Or 58, 58,
yeah. 59. Hell yeah! Oh my goodness!
Ace killer, legend killer.
I hope they're not watching this. The disrespect from my side is so real. I'm getting so.
to be fair, Muto is the only NOAA guy that was like, I'm not going to say anything bad about New Japan. Everyone like Nakajima, Mara Fuji, Kiyomiya, they're all like, oh, we got to prove something against New Japan. And Muto is just like, I like both promotions have been very good to me. Like he does not want to burn any bridges, even if it's just for this January 8th showdown of NOAA versus New Japan. And if Muto's listening, I respect the hustle. I really do.
You know, everybody over on in this continent sure is talking shit while there is a travel ban, while they can't, you know, while they're afraid to leave Japan.
Yeah,
go back.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. But Kenta, not the only emotional announcement at this most recent NOAA show, because, hey, if we're on the road to January 8th, I got to cover this. NOAA adding one more to their army as they head into Yokohama Arena. Go Shiozaki, the former GHC champion, is back, which means that there is another just big time name that could be involved in the January 8th showdown. It's even possible Shiozaki will be the GHC heavyweight champion by that time if he beats Nakajima on the first. But I'm going to throw to Karen again because she's one of our resident NOAH experts over here on the island. What was the reaction to Shiozaki coming back, especially considering he came back to face off against his old tag team partner Nakajima? I mean, it seemed like a pretty big moment.
It was very much the "Hey Siri, play my boyfriend's back" and as loud as you can. Because there was no return timetable for Shiozaki because he had multiple surgeries and he came back. He looks strong. He looks healthy. He looks rested. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt for Kenno because he had just wrestled Katsuhiko Nakajima to a 60-minute draw. And just before Katsu could say anything more than "Kenno." Mm-hmm. And his music hit. He interrupted. Kenno's just like, you know what? I gotta go, man. He rolls out. Now that the problem is that when Axis broke up and Nakajima turned on Shiozaki, he eventually found his way to Kongo and joined Kenno. Mm-hmm. So people are wondering if Shiozaki coming back means that Nakajima might not be too much longer in Kongo.
It's going to be a
fight for Nakajima's attention, as it were.
It's definitely going to be a very big showdown on the first between the two former tag team partners. But you're right, I do have to respect Kenno for just kind of respecting that there are bigger personal issues between Nakajima and Shiozaki than he could ever have about the 60-minute draw. I'm just going to back off and let y'all deal with this. I understand there are some folks who might be a little lost in the chat. Pro Wrestling NOAH coming to Yokohama on January 8th. We will be doing a few bit of their headlines. We'll have a primer after World Tag League and Best of Super Junior wrap up, and I've had some time to actually wrap my head around the fact that these two companies are going to war on January 8th. We will be priming you all on NOAH soon, I promise you. But let's talk about Best of Super Juniors and Tag League, because they are running right now. It's getting real heated as we've just kind of sort of crossed the halfway point, if my math is correct. And let's start with the Best of Super Juniors, because there's a lot of surprises on this front. It's been a far more competitive tournament than in years past. You're seeing guys like Doki get some very high profile wins. Same with Bushi has gotten some pretty serious wins. But one of the true kind of underdog stories right now is Yo. The former Yohei Komatsu is started on a bit of a losing streak, and now he finally seems to put it all together. He has gotten back to using the 5-star clutch that he was using when he first came back from Excursion. And yeah, there we go. Sorry, my brain was working 5 words ahead. And so it does seem like maybe, just maybe, as Yo is bound to face off with Sho eventually, that he might be in a position to spoil things for the current block leader. Karen, what are your kind of take on Yo's rise to rise up from the ashes here, so to speak, in the back half of the front half of Best of Super Junior?
A sonata on me. He's starting. he's faulting out the gate, and now he's just starting to run the table. And I'm like, don't do this to me. If you're mm-hmm. gonna go away for a couple of months to go get yourself together, come back like all pistons firing and just go. But you know what? If the end game for Yo in this year's Super Junior is spoiling it for Sho, if they go down fighting and blow up the ring, fine. I'm mm-hmm. fine with it. But I am glad to see that he's starting to get his momentum back.
Indeed.
You're going against your boy?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, I never thought I'd hear that from you.
No. Don't be putting words in my mouth now. You got that recorded too, right?
Oh yeah, we're recording this. I don't edit a lot.
Mama, you could show him that clip, right?
Do not. Don't you dare.
Oh my goodness.
You know?
I can definitely show him this.
I barely edit out the curses. I'm not editing out the discourse. The discourse always has to stay. But no, let's go back to it, because Karen was bringing up a very good point. Sho has kind of...
Just pull that ripcord for her, Ross.
Sho has broken a lot of hearts in this tournament. Sho has become something of... to borrow a phrase from his House of Torture partner, show is evil at the moment. And it does seem like some folks in the tournament even have been trying to kind of beat the light back into show. We saw it with Master Watto kind of taking some serious fire in his attempt to kind of bring show back to the light side. Obviously, he has the showdown with Yo coming. Taguchi also just straight up was spanking him at one point. So, like, they're... He put him over the rail like he was scolding a child and just started spanking the hell out of show. And so it does feel like there are those that are trying to pull him back. Am I wrong here, Karen?
You're not wrong. And for the record, I did not order that hit on show via Taguchi. I did not ask for that. But no, it's
They don't got spanking on Noah. I just want to point that out, right? So already,
let me rewatch some of the Taniguchi and Muhammad matches, and then I'll get back to you.
Undercards. So the thing is that the one that surprised me the most is Watto, because Watto was like Ibushi was for show. It was somebody he looked up to, someone he respected, someone he trained with. To the point where he was like, you know what? I'm just going to try to do everything I can to bring him back. But I have never seen Watto walk out in a match and he's taking his jacket off before he even gets in the ring area and was like, you know what? Forget it. Let's go. And I've never seen Watto angry before, but it was nice to see, as we've discussed before, a babyface that is not a moron and is pissed off and is trying to do everything to make things right.
Yep. No, I'm
not every babyface is a dope.
Yep. No, I'm so with you. When Watto started taking off his jacket and you could see the anger, the burning hatred in his eyes, I got so amped. Because if you follow me on Twitter at RossWBermanIV, I'm a Master Watto supporter. I even called him a dark horse for this tournament just because there's something about the kid. He's got spunk. But now that I've actually seen him angry, and now that I've actually seen that intensity from him, now
there's
he's someone.
No, bring him back, your boy. He was got his grip deep in his back. There's no letting go.
I know.
My man has hit a different stride since he's become evil, man. This murder machine is hitting. What is he? 12 points in this tournament. Yeah.
No, he's up to 12 points. Oh, yeah. Most of them are ref stoppages. Like, he just...
I'm still proud of him. He's doing amazing.
That wrench is doing him wonders in this tournament.
12 points of carnage is what.
Yes.
just turning screws and man, he's on a different page right now.
He's like the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's definitely someone that everyone's going to have to deal with, because like Desperado and Takahashi, they want to face each other in the finals. Sho and Yo, they want to face each other in the finals. But like Sho is the one right now that like, you know, if you're trying to predict, he feels like someone who might go the distance at this point. I mean, it feels like it's going to take a lot to stop this dude. He's don't get me wrong. There's plenty that are trying to nip at his heels, but it's been a little too competitive for someone to really nab that second place spot definitively. Thomas Island listeners, as guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair, from how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the way it's perfectly styled before we go out, and then we get into our 20s and our 30s and we start to notice those first signs of hair loss. Oh, it definitely starts to feel like panic time. Because let's face it, no guy ever really wants to go bald, but thankfully, there's now an easy way to keep your hair with Keeps. Did you know that 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The only way to really prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. And Keeps makes it very easy. You don't have to go to your doctor's office for hair loss prescriptions. Now, all you have to do is visit a doctor online, get your hair loss medication delivered right to your home, and start now. That's right, they make it easy, and they deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to hanging out in the pharmacy checkout lines and all those awkward doctor visits. And also, they have the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but you've never tried them for this price. Again, you have to start while you still have hair left to save, and treatments can typically take between 4 to 6 months, so it's important to act fast. And if you want that first month free, go to keeps.com/Tama. That's right, keeps.com/Tama for your first month free. Head on over to keeps.com and keep the hair you have while you still have it. It's gonna be a tight tournament as we get towards December 15th in Ryogoku. But also on the World Tag League side of things, it's getting a little bit more competitive than the best of Super Juniors. You got Dangerous Techers currently tied with Naito and Sonata. Naito and Sonata had their losing streak snapped by the United Empire this morning. Great Okan pinning Sonata and essentially telling Shingo Takagi on commentary to come get your trash, referring to Naito and Sonata. So clearly some fighting words from the United Empire towards LIJ. But I do want to touch on one little stat, because the opening of this tournament, Tama, you beat GBH, who had two World Tag League wins, much like you do. And then you beat Ten Cozy, who also have a number of world tag title reigns like you do. And so it feels like GOD is kind of establishing themselves as the tag team of this generation. There are some that are ahead of you, but those results kind of, I don't know, they feel very lampshaded. It feels very it feels like a message being sent to this generation that it's y'all's time or something.
I like the start that we have, but I felt like we just kind of just ran through has-beens.
Yeah,
it wasn't too. I don't feel like that's a competition that's really testing us to really show that we're this generation's tag team.
Gotcha.
You look at the Sonata and you look at Naito, they're coming off real strong, but you knew that already. They're two solid competitors already. And you look at Zach and Taichi, we've been back and forth with them all year this year, and they're solid competitors. And we just lost to the Dangerous Techers. So it's not like lose. These generation guys, I felt like that we just beat just kind of puts us with them. Like,
oh, okay. You still got some proving yourself to do is what you're saying.
They're still solid. Now, just to correct you, we've only won one World Tag League.
Right.
And that was last year. And so this
Ross just saw into the fucking future. He's drinking Red Bull, and it just made him look into the future.
I'm not gonna lie. The schedule's been kicking my ass. I got it.
We are seven-time tag champions. But hey, tag leagues is where you show who the best is.
Yeah.
What's up? Hey, I saw you. Sorry to cut you off, John.
Oh no, it's all good.
What's your thoughts?
I was gonna kiss your ass for just like a rare second.
Let's move on.
But it's gotta be connected. The fact that that Ross called you the tag team of this generation, and you feel like you're only fighting has-beens. My dude, they're has-beens because you've been cutting through them like butter. Fucking made those dudes has-beens. You did that. Otherwise, they'd be the current guy.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point.
That's the nicest shit I'm gonna say this whole podcast. I promise.
As I said though, tag league getting competitive, best of Super Juniors getting very competitive. It's gonna be emotional, to quote Vinny Jones. Let's move on though to some just I feel like I keep having to talk about WWE from time to time. They got a little, I know, and I really thought there was, as we headed into Sunday, I was like, there hasn't been a ton of news. I don't know if I'm going to have to talk about WWE this week. Mm. Then last night, on Monday Night Raw, they decided to make the current budget cut releases part of the Liv Morgan-Becky Lynch storyline.
We talked about this last week, right?
Yeah, well, they hadn't said it yet, but we've always been hypothesizing, right, that like one of the reasons these budget cuts keep happening is they want to double down on your Roman Reigns, is your Becky Lynch's, your Seth Rollins's, and all those kinds of people, start giving them that Hollywood money. And Liv Morgan apparently feels the same way, as she told Becky Lynch that it was her big contract that is the reason so many of her friends aren't around anymore. And this was live on the air on Raw. It seemed like a scripted part of the show, which means WWE kind of shifting blame from the company for their budget cuts onto Becky Lynch in the name of pouring a little gasoline on this storyline. John, you're already wincing, so I got to throw to you because I can see you holding it in.
I've been feeling some way about this. They did it the first time last week. They had there was a promo where they were talking back and forth, and she told Liv like you know your friends are whatever unemployed. Mm-hmm. And then now they did it again this week, and I get it. Like, listen, there's obviously, I know the difference between, you know, story and, you know, reality and whatever. Right. Yep. But when you address something that, you know, is a bad thing that you did not wrong, because you had to do what you have to do, your business, whatever, it's your right to fire talent, whatever. But to turn that into story in a way of shifting the blame. And you think it's not going to make an impact, but it will eventually, you know, as they seed these sort of things, especially among people that are not necessarily savvy viewers that know what's going on, you know, people that kind of read more into what's happening on screen than they should be, as we have seen, you know, what ends up happening is it becomes reality, right? Mm-hmm. It becomes the narrative, oh, because of people like Becky Lynch, who needs all this money, just, you know, and she needs a bus and she needs this. That's why they laid all those people off. Not because we've mismanaged our budget and our roster for the past 8 years, you know, or yeah, whatever.
Because you can't even say they mismanaged the budget. They just, the way their budget works now is if they cut a certain number, they keep making record profits. I don't know if that's, sure, it doesn't sound like a bug. It sounds like a feature of the whole
Well, thing. The other issue for me is that they're a public company. And
yeah.
So making references to actual business through characters that they're portraying as being real, mm-hmm, and the things that they're saying are real because they're connected to news stories I've seen. How was I a shareholder, not like a boardroom shareholder, but I mean, you know, some dude on Robinhood or E-Trade or whatever, how am I supposed to know what's real and not real? Mm-hmm. Right. So they're almost kind of like manipulating their stock and shit through storyline, and that's next level shit.
Let's all right, as the lawyer's son here, let's
refrain from it legally. I'm saying accidentally.
Hang on, can you put it this way? Are they manipulating? Put a question mark.
Sorry. Of it. Are they? Okay, take two.
Yeah.
Could they be? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
You're not. You're just asking a question. You're asking a question. You're not stating definitively.
I'm not the Security Exchange Commissioner.
No.
But I am wondering if the Security Exchange Commissioner ever took a look into this.
Yeah, no. It's, look, I don't think WWE is manipulating their stock with this one.
No, but I think it's a weird gray area to reference business as storyline. Yeah. I think that's, at worst skeezy. I mean, at least skeezy, right?
At best, it's just a little weird. It's like it kind of reminds me of the Attitude Era when they were like, Brian Pillman died on Sunday, so on Monday we have to interview Melanie Pillman, or you know, we have to bring up creating an entire character based on the IRS because Vince has tax problems. You know,
different. That's different because they're not talking about things that happened that they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This would be more like if a wrestler died or something, and then they made a storyline about it later where they're like, oh, it was because of the shenanigans that happened, not because of negligence. Well,
now by that metric, technically that's just kind of on par for WWE. if we look
fair.
at Rey Mysterio's right, Rey Mysterio's road to WrestleMania was pretty much built on Randy Orton telling him that Eddie Guerrero was in hell. So like they've absolutely
they've taken
that road. They have absolutely
there's no road they won't take, man.
Listen, they're still carnies. Sure, they're carnies with billions of dollars, but they're still carnies.
Absolutely. It's definitely dirty baseball. That's for sure. And it feels like they're like trying to turn people off. Cause like, even if I'm a WWE fan, like I'm like a diehard who only watches WWE. The fact that they're firing people that I've probably emotionally invested in, and now bringing back up the fact that they fired the people that I'm probably emotionally invested in. Like, it's just, it feels like from time to time they dare the audience to like not watch, you know what I mean? They're like, how much can we twist the knife before you'll actually, you know, turn us off? And if the ratings are any indication, they don't really turn them off, but it does seem to be, it seems to be, it doesn't feel right. I don't know, Karen, am I just ranting, or what do you think?
No, as like I said as before, you know, someone who's been actively going to NXT since 2014, and a lot of the people that have been released in the last year and a half are people I've been on that journey with, on that bandwagon since 2014. So it's, I've canceled Peacock. I seldom watch NXT at this point. I don't watch Mondays. I don't watch Fridays. Like, I will put on AEW if somebody I want to watch is wrestling, but I watch Impact now. I watch what's left of Ring of Honor. I watch New Japan, Stardom, Noah, a little bit of the UK stuff. But it's just, I've been in too many terrible relationships where I know that if you're going to keep me on the hook and keep dragging me and like throwing me back and forth like this emotionally, no, it's not healthy it's not a healthy model to get emotionally invested in WWE as a product. Be a fan, but don't put your heart into it. Unless you're okay being jerked around like that.
I broke up with WWE.
I'm sorry.
No, it's wow.
You heard it here first, folks.
You have nothing to apologize for, because I don't think you're the only one that's broken up with WWE over the course of the past like 2 years or so. Hell, 4 years even. But it does speak to the fact that it's like you said, you were going to NXT. You were clearly the diehard that, you know, was going to keep a lot of what they were doing viable. And it seems like they've taken that gratitude with a grain of salt. They've taken that kind of investment with a grain of salt. And they're a little more invested in the folks that are investing in the stock as opposed to the product. And it feels like that seems to be the story of 2020 and the story of 2021, and I don't know, maybe it'll be the story of 2022. Who's to know? I don't have a crystal ball, but they don't seem to be stopping anytime soon. And so it makes it a little hard. Yeah.
It's a bad look. Like, you fought to, as a company, to be considered essential during the pandemic, and all you've done since gaining that essential like protection halo is start cutting people whose livelihoods depend on that essential job. Essential and expendable is not fair.
Yep.
Ooh. That's a good point there.
I've got a lot of those. Thank you.
Hey, that's gimmick infringement.
Nice. Nice. But no, Karen does make, I think, a very valid point. And why I wanted to talk about this, because it's symptomatic of a larger problem in WWE. I'm like you, Karen. I've kind of fallen off. I was big on NXT 2.0 when it started, when it was new and like there anything was possible with it. Now it's starting to feel a little not same old just doesn't feel like they have a plan. It's like a lot of the rest of WWE where it kind of feels like they're just throwing everything at the wall possible. And even if it sticks, they're just going to throw more stuff on top of it because it's more about throwing stuff at the wall than actually seeing what sticks.
I'm more afraid of who they're going to, like, if they're going to keep this pattern of calling people up and then releasing them.
Yeah.
Like, Hit Row was huge in NXT and they were great. They were entertaining. And we were like, everyone was really excited about it, but they were in the middle of a feud with Legado del Fantasma and then got called up. And then it was like, poof.
I think it was.
And then there's talk that
allegedly that there could be a strategy in mind if they were so inclined to do so. Am I doing okay, Ross?
Yeah, no, you're good.
that by calling them up, it increases their non-compete clause. So if they call them up and then cut them, no matter how stupid as it looks on television, like they give a shit, because the ratings are doing fine, so obviously it doesn't matter. Then they have to wait 90 days instead of 30 days, which doesn't seem like a lot, but at around this time of year, that's hitting a lot of big shows, a lot of big pay-per-views, a lot of big kind of moments.
So. Well, but and Hit Row, I feel like they're hard to gauge because from what it sounds like, I think it was according to Top Dollar in an interview, a lot of the guys, the day of their release, it was like, well, first you were booked for Survivor Series, then you weren't booked for Survivor Series, then you were booked for the weekend of Survivor Series, and the next call was you're fired. And so it sounds like there is a lot of confusion over what people's people's use is going to be in these as they get called up. Like we've seen Von Wagner showed up on SmackDown like for a brief moment and then they never addressed it. Like they keep I don't know. It just doesn't seem like there's a plan. It doesn't seem like anyone in the part where things are supposed to have continuity is paying attention. And that just, I don't want to be one of those people that's like, hey, maybe they're selling this company, but if I was selling the company, I would start, not paying attention to creative and just making sure that it was, as profitable as possible, because creative expensive. For all you know, creative's going to be like, hey, we need a car to destroy 1 week to get, make someone look good. Whereas if you just are keeping everyone in this holding pattern where like, I don't know, Austin Theory is suddenly stealing props from a movie that's being heavily promoted, and then Vince has a random interaction with Vince McMahon that I still don't know what's going on there. I still maintain that it's Vince trying to do another Austin McMahon thing just with Austin Theory, but this time Vince wins because like he's slapping the hell out of Austin Theory. Like this is the Vince McMahon show.
Keep it.
But he finally gets to beat up Austin. That's what it feels like.
And the sale thing is only interesting in a way that like, it won't be a savvy buyer, so they give a shit. They'll watch, it's not like they're going to go back and watch a month's worth of catalog and then go, oh, I don't know if this is a good show. It won't be a buyer that knows what a good show is. What's a good show is what WWE tells them is a good show by showing them the ratings, merch sales, whatever, which has been steady through, not steady, you know what I mean? It hasn't dived. So that's what the asset will be. It'll be a media company buying them. It won't be somebody who knows what good wrestling is or whatever, or good, even a good show is. It'll be somebody who usually churns out reality shows and sitcoms. So, or sports, like sports, you don't even, there's not even the stories make, you gotta build them afterwards. Right. So, they don't care. So I think if they are trying to make it more attractive for a sale or even just for anything else, I mean, they're going in the right direction as stupid as it looks from our end, from a business standpoint, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be a savvy buyer. So it don't matter.
Yeah. Go ahead, Karen. You're in.
Well, my thing is it's going back to all the international talent they've brought in from around the world. Those individuals and some of them have uprooted their families.
Mm-hmm.
30 to 90 days to sort out living conditions, a new work visa, the ability not to get deported and banned from the country within like 3 months. It's not right. It's just not right. Like I probably do have much more stronger words I could be using right now, but I'm going to save those for later. Put them save for a rainy day. But it's just like, I hate seeing people scramble to keep their livelihood in a time where everyone is scrambling to keep their livelihood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's never been a good time for these WWE releases, but especially as they keep bringing in more foreign talent that, you can't just release them into the indie, ecosystem. There's a whole lot of paperwork they have to go through once you let them go. It does make me nervous. It does it it I don't know. I feel for everyone over there, because from what it sounds like via Fightful, The Observer, a bunch of others, it's not been good for morale. There have been a lot of people that are just kind of wandering around with their hands in the air, going, "What the hell is going on?" And so I send everyone the best of wishes in this holiday season, because boy howdy, it's not going to be easy, but you know, yeah. We will see. Speaking of craziness, I think this will be what we close on. If you follow wrestling, you're probably on Twitter, and if you're on Twitter, then you know that the CEO is Jack Dorsey, or it was Jack Dorsey. Jack Dorsey officially stepping down from Twitter yesterday. So I wanted to do a fun little exercise with all four of you. You're the new CEO of Twitter. You have one major change you can make to it, and they're not gonna do anything to stop you. The rest you got to go through approval, but this one, you get one free one. What is it going to be? I'm gonna throw it to you, John, first. John, what are you gonna? Get one change to make to Twitter as its new CEO.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at
Menards. We're doing a reboot. We're going to nuke everybody's timelines and let everybody start from zero.
Oh, man. So you're talking like fight. You're talking Fight Club, right?
Including,
like
the Fight Club? Including your followers. Go find your friends, fucker.
Oh,
no more verified accounts. No more followers. Start over, bitch. You guys lost your privileges.
End of day. End of Twitter.
Y'all lost your privileges during COVID. I would just nuke the bitch, turn it in the glass, done. We're gonna nuke the site, and then from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Oh man, you're going full Ortolan. You're taking the Twitter bird, you're drafting an Armagnac, you're gonna fry it and eat it whole. Okay.
Hell yeah.
You know what? I have to respect that. I just do. All right.
Oh, then everybody has to follow me after that. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Tom used to do on MySpace.
Okay.
Oh, Tom, good times.
Yeah, I miss I'll Tom. Be your first follower.
Okay. That's two things. Sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
No, and I will say Tom was very smart. He never sold anyone my data, which I was MySpace. I gave him way too much. Karen, you get one way to change Twitter. They can't stop you. What is it going to be?
See, I was going to go the very practical route. So you were talking about this before we went on. And it was like, as somebody who tries to use multiple languages, my kingdom for an edit button and an edit history.
Oh, you took mine. Shit.
But now I'm just like, you know what? The other one, I want the Instagram function where I can remove followers, because I don't like having problematic people following me.
Okay. Okay.
Take your trash and get out of my timeline. I don't want it. I don't want reply guys. None of it. Damn it.
Fair. Very fair. I do like the suggestion of the edit button. I will point out, Twitter has been asking for an edit button for how long now? They've been asking for an edit button since Twitter started.
Yeah, it's not here anymore, Ross.
And apparently Jack decided it was easier to quit. So apparently the edit button.
He hit himself out of the company.
I'm just going to edit myself out of a job. Thanks. Bye.
Do you think
Tom, I didn't mean to take your answer.
Do you think at headquarters they have a giant sign out button that he has to hit on the way out?
Delete timeline. Bam.
He got one final, can we get an edit button tweet? And he said, all right, Parag, it's your site now. Oh, man.
Oh,
Tama, you're the new CEO of Twitter. You get one change you have to make.
Man. I was edit because I had too many drunk texts, tweets, man.
That's fair.
I love having a couple glasses of wine and going there and fucking with people.
Twitter.
Twitter, I looked at Twitter like it was a playground for words, you know. And
how's that working out for you?
It was going really well. Then I wished there was an edit button.
It's a popular choice. No one's gonna fault you for wanting the edit button. Let's be real.
Don't add a notes app option to it.
Oh man, no, we've already got a note.
There's going to be an AI that automatically does a notes apology for any tweets that you have to delete. It just fills it out for you.
Okay,
you know what, I got one. You know how Facebook does this, like on your timeline it shows you 5 years ago this was your post from that. They should do that on Twitter to let you show you how dumb your ass was. Look at your state of mind this year. I was like, look how young you were, how dumb. Have you grown since then?
There you go.
Have you matured? You still feel this way, you have not. I said, reevaluate your life. All right.
You want the life coach app on Twitter.
That's how you do it, Twitter. If you want to make it into a more positive place, let people see how dumb they were years ago.
Love it. I think that's right. If I'm the CEO of Twitter, I think my one change is just I don't like this. You can turn off replies, just no replies, period. You have to quote tweet people if you want to reply to them. And if you want to get in an argument, there needs to be a maze of quote tweets going down your timeline for like 3 days. I want it to be chaos on the timeline, but well-branded chaos where your header and your profile picture must be on all your tweets.
Oh, fuck. Jeez.
Because y'all already took the edit button and the nuke Twitter options. I was trying to do my poker face. John took my idea. Because I'm not going to lie, the Fight Club option for Twitter, I think, would solve a lot of problems. But since Twitter is still there, no one has bombed it to glass, as John said, nor have they done it to Instagram or any other social media. Karen, as we're wrapping up here, where can people find you if you want them to find you? Not everyone wants
to. Address. Let me add it up. Put your address down. If you want Twitter, your address got to get on there. I bet you motherfuckers won't talk
verify
shit.
Verify real quickly. You have to have your actual name, your government name on your account.
Verify. You can click a button. And it just orders an Uber to that person's house.
So you
GPS locator will be right there pinging off your house. I bet you motherfuckers won't be talking shit on this.
Tama brings up a good point. You can't dox people whose information is already out there. It would completely change the game.
I thought you told me to put my information. I'm like, oh no, I don't want people to know where I live.
No.
Motherfuckers will be so select. Nice on Twitter. Oh, how are you today? You, very nice.
I have no opinions. Day.
No, I get that.
I got no opinions. We're good.
I only have great opinions.
Yeah.
No one can reply to you, so no one can tell you that you're wrong. It's fantastic.
There you go.
No, I give this match 10 stars, not 5. I give this 10 stars. Always.
All the stars. Just pour them out everywhere.
Oh my god.
All right, that's it.
No, but I get it. I don't even take photos on my block, so I get the idea of not wanting people to know where you live. Karen, where can people find you if they want? Yes, there we go.
If someone would like to find me on the internet in a safe space, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube at Hey Karen Sensei.
There we go. And John, where can people find you if you want them to find you?
Man, I'm ready to throw down. Y'all can meet me right in front of me. I was accidentally said it. You guys can find me at Twitter at John Sebastian, JohnSebastian, or linktree.com/JohnSebastian. And don't be afraid to poke around in them links, you know, and you know, come find me, because I'll never be CEO of Twitter, so you don't have to worry about me nuking your shit.
Hey, don't cut yourself off, John. Well, I think you never know.
My designated survivor, I think technically I'm 180,000th in line, because I have a Twitter from like the first year it existed. So
yeah, but didn't you say you've got Twitter blue? I think that signs you up for like a Willy Wonka golden ticket scenario. Like,
I do. And even though they gave me that sort of edit button, I still blow through my tweets and have to delete shit all the time.
So you have an edit button, you're not even using it.
Yeah, it's fucking lame.
Well, there you go.
It's such a terrible, don't sign up for Twitter blue, please. Don't do it. It's okay. It does let you change your app icon. So now I can't find my app because I changed the color of the icon and I'm used to looking for Twitter. It's terrible. Anyway.
This is a great advertisement for Twitter blue.
unless they want to sponsor, and then in which case
it's great.
I love it.
Thank you. Yeah. I will. Hell, I'll take anyone's money if they're giving it away. Tama, where can people find you if you want to find you?
Hey, you find me on, find me on here. I went blank there on my, Tama Tonga. Hey, Tama Tonga. What is my damn?
I got the list. You can find Tama him at
the Folk City Hustler. He's the.
Locator.
You can find Tama.
If you want to find me, send me your address. I'll come find you.
Yeah, now we're talking.
All right. I've got the list at Tama_Tonga on Twitter, at Tama, at the good bad guy Tama Tonga on Instagram, at Tama's Island for all of your podcasting needs. If you want to subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Tama's Island. It's about to be a new month. It's a good time to subscribe and get in on some happy hours. If you head over to that Islander tier over at patreon.com, we'll be hanging out, chopping it up like we do every weekend. And as you know, if you're watching this live, twitch.tv/Tama's Island, if you want to watch us record this live every Tuesday. You can find me at Ross W. Berman IV on Twitter, Ross Berman IV on Instagram, rossberman.bandcamp for all your music needs. Karen, it does... she covers Stardom for Post Wrestling, so head on over to Post Wrestling for all her Stardom coverage. I've got the New Japan duties over at WrestleZone.com, so shout out to Post.com and shout out to WrestleZone for giving us reasons to be keeping up with this crazy, crazy schedule. We will be back next week. We thank you all for joining us, as always. Until then, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and enjoy your week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this week's Tama's Island. Find more great Tama's Island content like the Shotgun series, weekly happy hour Zoom calls with Tama, video versions of the podcast, and much, much more at patreon.com/Tama's Island, and visit at Tama's Island on Instagram and Twitter.